Today is June 12, 2026. This is your FinTech Briefing for Solopreneur. In the next 8 to 9 minutes, we'll cover the banking system's hidden HTM accounting trap that's quietly strangling warehouse credit, why your underwriting models are flying blind on employment and BNPL data, and what Tyler Denk's $10 product launch can teach every B2B FinTech founder about distribution. Here's a number that should stop you cold, 55 to 75 cents on the dollar. That is what the long-duration bonds, sitting on U.S. bank balance sheets, are actually worth right now in the open market, even though the banks are carrying them at par. This is not a rounding error, this is a structural trap, and it has a direct line to your warehouse facility renewal conversation. Here's how it works. In 2020 and 2021, banks loaded up on treasuries and agency mortgage-backed securities, paying coupon rates of about 0.25 to 0.5%. Then the Fed hiked aggressively in 2022 and 2023, and those bonds got crushed. Rather than take the mark-to-market hits, the banks reclassified those holdings into the hold-to-maturity bucket under GAAP accounting rules, which lets them carry the assets at amortized cost, not market value. It preserves their capital ratios on paper. The catch: if they sell even a single asset from that HTM portfolio, they're forced to recognize losses across the asterisk entire dis book. That's the exact mechanism that took down Silicon Valley Bank. The Fed's Bank Term Funding Program temporarily papered over this by letting banks pledge those underwater securities as collateral at par. But according to Michael Green at Wealthion, the BTFP has wound down while the underlying portfolio problem is still sitting there, fully intact. These banks are now borrowing at roughly 5% against assets yielding under 1%. That's persistent negative carry. That compresses net interest margin. And it means these institutions have every structural incentive to tighten credit to anyone who isn't a pristine borrower, including the fintech founders relying on their warehouse lines. Danielle DiMartino Booth at QI Research adds another layer. Banks are simultaneously realizing commercial real estate losses after what she describes as a decade of extend and pretend. Two tightening vectors hitting warehouse facilities at the same time. If your model depends on cheap bank warehouse credit, you need to model what happens when terms tighten 15 to 25% within 2 quarters. Not after the renewal conversation surfaces the problem. Now, let's talk about where the actual competitive opportunity is, because there's real alpha here for founders who are paying attention. Standard Credit Bureau data is showing roughly 3% delinquency rates. DiMartino Booth, speaking on Reinvent Money just a few days ago, flags that number as systematically understating borrower stress, because buy now, pay later obligations aren't captured in standard trade line data at all. Credit card delinquencies are rising, but top-of-distribution borrowers who pay in full every month are masking the stress in the bottom income quintiles. Meanwhile, individual bankruptcy filings are showing what she calls a very pronounced rise. She describes them as the caboose following corporate bankruptcies, which are already in an active cycle. For any founder building in consumer lending, BNPL, or credit products serving mass-market borrowers, this is a product differentiation window. Any underwriting model that supplements standard bureau trade lines with actual BNPL utilization data has a structural information advantage over every competitor relying on headline delinquency rates. The GTM motion is a classic data moat wedge. Partner with 2 or 3 BNPL providers for data sharing agreements, build a proprietary delinquency enrichment layer, and price your underwriting as a service API at a premium. The moat here is not the model, it's the data sourcing relationships, which are the actual barrier to entry. Building on that, there's a second blind spot that's just as valuable: employment quality signals. DiMartino Booth's data shows the U.S. labor market has lost 600,000 full-time jobs in the trailing 12 months, while simultaneously creating 132,000 part-time jobs. Headline non-farm payroll doesn't capture that quality deterioration. Full-time private core employment peaked in 2024, and payroll revisions for Q2 and Q3 of 2025 showed job destruction, not growth, with Q4 revisions expected to confirm the same. Any credit scoring system trained on 2021 through 2023 employment data is operating on a vintage that doesn't reflect today's labor market. The GTM move for an underwriting infrastructure provider, build a revision-adjusted employment signal API. Ingest BLS table A9, that's the full-time versus part-time breakout, alongside long-term unemployment duration data, and sell it to lenders whose existing models are flying blind. The addressable market is every bank and non-bank lender running a lagged data underwriting stack. Now let's talk distribution, because even the best product dies without the right channel. Tyler Denk, founder of Behave, formerly the second employee at Morning Brew, described a GTM model on marketing against the grain that every B2B fintech founder should understand cold. His newsletter, Big Desk Energy, reached 130,000 subscribers. He launched a $10 digital product, a slide deck and video walkthrough of his 0 to 130K growth playbook. He sold approximately 1,000 units. That's a 0.77% conversion rate on his subscriber base, $10,000 in revenue. Of those purchasers, 55%, roughly 550 people, converted to Behave platform users. His estimate, that single $10,000 product launch generated north of $1 million in arranged buy. The unit economic insight that translates directly to B2B FinTech, Time Magazine's former CTO, discovered Behave organically through the newsletter, read it for several months, and self-initiated pitching Time's leadership on migrating to Behave's enterprise tier. Zero outbound, zero paid acquisition. Denk also cites Ramp's long-term partnership with David Senra of the Founders Podcast as a fintech-specific case study. A multi-quarter, multi-touchpoint sponsorship covering newsletter, podcast, and social, reaching a high-intent CFO audience with no algorithmic dependency. The key number, a 2,000 subscriber list of verified CFOs, is more commercially valuable to a B2B fintech advertiser than a 50,000 subscriber general audience, because a $50,000 ACV product only needs a 1 in 100 conversion to generate strong ROI. If you're building for operators and finance leaders, your distribution strategy should reflect that math. Finally, the rate environment, and this one has teeth. According to Darius Dale at 42 Macro, May PPI printed at 6.5% year-over-year on the headline, with core PPI peaking at 4.9% year-over-year. Dale identifies core PPI as a leading indicator of core CPI and core PCE in recent inflation cycles, meaning structurally elevated PPI peaks and troughs presage elevated CPI and PCE prints downstream. His model has the Fed 1 to 2 rate hikes behind the neutral rate curve. Markets are pricing only 30 basis points of tightening over the next 12 months. Dale characterizes that consensus as materially underpricing tightening risk. For fintech founders, higher for longer is not a macro abstraction. DeMartino Booth calls it the proximate cause of the current bankruptcy cycle. Any fintech with floating-rate loan portfolios, rate-sensitive SMB borrowers, or a unit economic model that assumed 2024-era rate cuts needs to remodel LTV and delinquency assumptions for a 12 to 18-month extension of current rate levels right now. SMB lending fintechs face a compounded problem. Small business hiring has, in DeMartino Booth's words, collapsed, meaning underwriting models built on 2021 through 2023, SMB credit performance are miscalibrated on both employment quality and rate sensitivity simultaneously. One more capital signal worth flagging, the non-banking global financial system has reached $258 trillion in size, with 51% of global assets now held by non-bank financial entities. Private credit underwriting quality in this cohort is, per DeMartino Booth, characterized by lax standards and insufficient due diligence. If you're originating loans for private credit fund purchase or relying on private credit warehouse facilities, stress test your counterparty's own leverage and liquidity position, not just your own book. Quick win before you close your laptop today. pull your warehouse facility agreement and identify the renewal date and any material adverse change clauses. Then get a 30-minute call on the calendar with your facility counterparty before that date. You want to be the founder who surfaced this conversation proactively, not the one who found out at renewal that the terms moved 20% while you were heads down building. Get after it. We'll talk tomorrow. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.